You are listening to WMNF Tampa, WMNF, best soul station in the nation. Hey, if you're getting in the car and planning on going southbound on I-275, avoid it from downtown Tampa to the bridge. There's an accident. Once you get on the bridge, you're okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in to WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM, best little station in the nation. So glad that you're out there. Yay. My name is Joellen Schilke. I am the hostess who loves you absolutely 190% the mostest. This show is called Art in Your Ear. We're a interview and chat show about the arts. On today's show, Rosemary Orlando is going to be coming in just a few minutes. She is both directing and acting in Talking With, a StageWorks production that opens up next week, and so much to talk about. If you want to get in touch with us, please do text us at 813-433-0885. It's 813-433-0885. Or You can email us, dj@wmnf.org. Coming up also musically, I have a brand new Elvis Costello song. How about that? Something from The Jam that is date appropriate. Jericho, which is that full length of what Inigo's been doing. And a poem by Arlo Parks. So lots going on here on the airwaves today. So I hope you will stick with us. Let's get going. This song is a new song to me, a new group to me. It's called Turtle Song by Backspace. So I thought it was a really great way to celebrate Earth Day and Earth Year, Earth Day, Earth Week, Earth Month. Here is Turtle Song by Backspace. And once again, that is Backspace singing a Turtle Song, a message for the human race. Like, at least be nice to turtles, take care of little creatures, lots of things. Well, I am so excited to welcome back into the air studios the wonderful Rosemary Orlando. Rosemary, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And this is one of those little full circles in a couple of different ways. April is my anniversary month of doing Art in Your Ear. I started years ago doing the show, and you and Jeff Norton were the first guests I had.
What a privilege.
I know, it was so exciting. You were so kind to me. I had no idea what I was doing. You were ever so kind. I came from mental health background where I did suicide and murder ideation and had to, you know, talk to people out of basically killing themselves or killing other people. So I feel like maybe I might have been a little rough on you guys. Jeff might have enjoyed the conversation. Are you planning on murdering anyone? And then even more so, we're here to talk about talking with a play that is opening up next week, previews on Thursday, and then opening on Friday the 28th. And it kind of is in honor of Anna Brennan, and one of the first times I ever interviewed her was for a production of Talking With.
Wow.
I know. So hang around this town for a while and everything sort of gets cool again.
That's right.
It's like clothing, you know, like, oh, and out of style, now it's cool again. So you are co-directing Talking With. You're directing and co-directing Talking With.
Well, I'm directing and then Carla's looking at my monologue because I'm also in it.
Okay,
That Clear Glass Marbles is the piece I did with Anna.
Right. And so that I was wondering about that because it's, you know, whenever I read an article or talk to someone, how it seems really hard to direct yourself. I mean, it may not be, but to have someone else there sort of giving you feedback on your performance seems so imperative to have. Like, that's the role of a director when working with actors, is to kind of mold things and work it together. So I understand. Will you just talk a little bit about being both an actor and a director in a production?
Well, as a director, I wanted to do Talking With more in the vision of a show instead of separate pieces. And so that was my vision. And we have the luxury of StageWorks has a wonderful theater. So we can have platforms, we can have different spaces, we can do a lot where in the past it did not have a home. So we were, you know, in the Jabe or in the Schimberg and rehearsing in Anna's living room and things like that. And so they were kind of separate, though you have to have really talented actors to pull this show off, which I'm very fortunate to have. So the director gets all that together, that vision together. But then as the actor, you need another set of eyes to kind of not even direct you, but coach you in my case. And because I've done it before, I have a memory of before. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be fresh. And as we age, we look at things differently.
Right, yeah.
And Clear Glass Marbles is all about, from a daughter's point of view, talking about her mother's death. And when I first did it, my mother was dying. So it was very personal to me. And one of the things that Carla said to me is like, this is a celebration of your mother, you know, instead of, you know, to find that other side. So you need another set of eyes to kind of put you in a correct box. And then once you get that note, then you think about it and you flip it and you play with it, where that's kind of hard to give it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. I just read an article the other day, and it was sort of talking about, it was praising going back and, you know, watching a movie that you've seen multiple times or reading a book that you read when you were young and going back and revisiting that and why. I think this was in the Washington Post or a TV show, because what you do is you're kind of measuring what has changed when you first or frequently sort of watched it or consumed it somehow, like who you are. You know, we ourselves change every 7 years. You know, Alan Watts is the person who came into the room. It's not the person standing here. Like, we change all the time. But to have this mark where 20 years ago, you did Talking With, and now you're doing it also in a little bit of a different way, in a lot of a different way. But you're a different person doing it now. You know, you've evolved there. What are you finding, both as the director, besides the staging, which I do want to talk about, but the words itself, it's about dreams. And it's about, the whole show is about finding your dreams, meeting your dreams, not having your dreams, being afraid to dream. Like, all that is in there. So now talk a little bit about that.
Right. Okay. So we have a collection of 11 extremely different personalities from different ways of life. And hopefully the audience will find themselves in one or more of these characters. But they're all the same in the fact that they just want to share their story and be validated. Mm-hmm. You know, Marx, who had a very mundane life, her husband left her. She got cut in the parking lot because this musician had said to her he was between sets so they could have sex, you know. Mm-hmm. And she pulled away and he cut her face. And then she
found...
Doesn't
sound like a mundane life.
I know, yeah. And then at first she's mortified and then she's finding how people are looking at her differently. And then she talks about sharing her life on her body with different tattoos and this is her mother in flight. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very strange character, but you can still relate to your husband leaving you, your life is mundane and you want to change it.
Right.
Right. And there's also a religious undertone with a lot of them. In Handler, this young girl has a snake, and we do use a real snake, who was just performing just right out of the box last night, because she holds it up at one point, and she lifted her neck and stuck out her tongue and did the whole scope of the audience. I thought, however you lifted her,
snake is
that.
A star.
Yeah.
Scene stealer.
So we'll see what happens. You know, we tech on Sunday when these animals have the light, because there also is a cat. And there's another one about a girl who's auditioning and she'll do anything to get a part. And she brings her cat in and I won't, you know,
right.
give it away. But we can relate to these wonderful, rich, multi-level characters. Mm-hmm. So we have a gambit of different ages, different wants, different needs, different desires, all trying to survive in their strange mind.
And you have, I'm looking at the cast is, you know, well known in the area. A lot of different people who have been seen. You and Don, I think it's Don True. I'm sorry, I forgot
yes.
his name. Don Trudeau?
Truex, no. yeah.
True, thank you. Redoing or doing your monologues that you did in the past. Before the show, we were talking in the past, and you did mention that this was just sort of a very, you know, monologue and then a monologue and then a monologue. But now the staging is going to be different where there's people on stage. Are most of the people or all the people on stage at the same time?
No. Our musician is on stage at the whole time.
Right.
Right. And Menji Thomas is our violinist, who is extremely talented, and she's just been a gift, especially to me, because I don't have a musical theater background, and I'll say, I want something that sounds dun, 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 and then Heather, who is the stage manager, let me say her name right, Kruger, yeah, who's been in a lot of shows at right. StageWorks, who does have a musical theater background, she'll say, do that in a minor and this chord and da-da-da.
Right.
So, but she is on stage and she helps fold one monologue to the other mm-hmm. and also helps create the twisted side of it. Mm-hmm. We have a woman who is giving birth, dragons, and her birth is not an easy birth, and she was told that the baby wasn't going to be healthy and she should abort it, and she decides to keep it. And so the violinist, the music is Lullaby on her entrance, which is done in half light, of course. But then we have three blind mice, bum, 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 like
right.
A little twisted here.
Right.
Yeah, so that helps hook everything together.
So there's, and dear listeners, that's Rosemary Orlando's voice you're hearing. She is an award-winning director, award-winning actor in the area and beyond. It's not like you've only done stuff here.
Yes,
you've
that's true.
Done stuff all over. Movies, I believe. TV
yes,
shows,
I...
all over. So were you in a Batman movie?
It's too long ago.
You were, weren't you?
I was.
It wasn't about. I see. I knew. I remember weird things about people that come on my show. But sorry about that. But so it's so interesting because I want to go back again to the idea that now you have a stage and you have. There's different levels where people can be at, and you have a stage that you can play with a show that's very familiar to you, but now you get to reimagine it, not just for yourself, not just for the actors, but you imagine it, I would bet, for some of the same audience members that came 20 years ago to it. StageWorks has a hugely loyal following. Yeah. And for people to come, and again, also sort of who I was 20 years ago, I love that person, but that person is not me. Like, I've learned so much and I've let go of so much and stuff like that. So the idea of coming, and I want to circle back to this, the idea of coming back later, 20 years later, and then once again, we're exploring these dreams that each of these women have, whether they were afraid of them, whether they let go of them, whether they're living them. What did you want to physically, how did you want to physically have the audience experience what these women are talking about when they look at the stage? You know, did you, is it, you have the violinist on stage, and then is it kind of flat where people are standing there and telling their story? Are people moving and interacting? I mean, what can someone to expect? How did you want it to work?
It actually depends on the particular character. In the piece called, lights, the lamps, the character, and that's Dawn. So the first time she was in rodeo, she was a cowgirl. And now she is an older woman who just wants to surround herself with peace and light and warmth. And she has rented a loft, and there's about 10 different lamps on every level. However, we still have pieces of the set that double, like there's a bed that doubles for clear glass marbles. I think of that as where my mother died, and that's considered in my mind as the bedroom. But she sits there, and that's where her son, she has her son's lamp. And so there's really four different acting areas, and then there's the downstage center where we have the twirler and, you know, people who are right in your face.
So
they all get used. Yes. So they all get used in lamps. She's all over the place. She's up, down, stage right, stage left, everywhere, just feeling the light and playing with it. And
I'm not a performer, but to me, that seems like it would be really fun to have that playground of a stage, and then to decide to move through it and how to move through it.
Yes. And we tried it last night with just the illumination from the lamps themselves. And because we don't have any front lighting, we missed a lot of Dawn's face. So the lighting designer, Celeste Silsby, say her name right, she's just a sweet, wonderful, she'll give you what you ask for without making it look bad.
Right.
You know, because I want to see her face, but I want to also see the pools of light. And, you know, boom, 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 boom.
And they
boom.
Do that. I was sitting through at the, is it the Off Avenue Players? I was sitting through a rehearsal of their show and sitting next to the person doing lights and all that. And and it's so fascinating. Like, I have so much respect for the people that make the whole show come together,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
Well, so we're talking with at StageWorks, and this is being done, and I don't want to leave out this part because it's important, and I have many, many, many more questions to ask you, but this is being done kind of honor Anna Brennan.
Yes.
And I believe that in May, I don't know if the data set, in May that there's going to be sort of a celebration or a more pointed thing?
Yes, it was scheduled for the 30th, that Sunday after the matinee, mm-hmm. to get together and, I don't know, kind of celebrate. The COVID really messed up what was originally going to happen when she passed away.
Right.
And so we couldn't have, you know, a farewell to her. And this really is her company, and she put her heart and soul into it.
Mm-hmm. So great. So that's, people can go to the website and they'll be able to find information or...
Yes, that, I'm hesitating a little bit because it's in transition.
Right, and that's why, and I want to mention not that there is a date set, because in the press release it said that that they'll announce when the date is set. So right. I'm just sort of like telling people to keep your eyes open because that will happen. So I want to go back to the idea of, because I don't get to have someone all to myself and get to ask these questions. And I'm so curious about, again, going back to directing, which to me sounds so fascinating and wonderful, but being an actor within a show too, because then you have these both things. As the director, you want everything to hang together. You want the audience to feel the connections between all the different parts of a show. Mm-hmm. As an actor, that's not really what's on your mind. Like, you're primarily is making sure that the segues are good. Your mind is, I want to make sure I'm truthful in what this is.
Right. I'm in the moment.
You're in the moment. So director hat, actor hat, and then you're like, where's your monologue in the stream?
It is the third one in the first act. Okay. So I can get it out of the way and then sit back in the audience and watch and take notes.
Was there any question about that you would not do it, or was that just, that was a given?
No, it was just kind of set that way.
Okay, good.
Beginning.
Right. So when you are deciding it, like, what are some of the decisions that you have to make as a director? You know, I mean, are all the monologues are in a certain row and that's how, like, and they go that way, you know, are the, talk a little bit about how you wanted to, if you think like an audience member, if you have to sort of understand who the audience is, not, you know, demographically, but the audience mindset to direct. I mean, it's just so interesting to sort of take someone and, have that idea of, I'm directing this, and then, except for this one little part where it's co-directed.
Well, you want to think about your house, like how big the theater is, because this has been performed in a larger space and a smaller space. Mm-hmm. So the Stageworks Theater is very intimate. The stage, I mean, I've been in shows where audiences have walked right on the stage. I mean, when we did 12 Angry Men, because the at one point a knife is stabbed into the table, mm-hmm. which, in the jury room, and people walk up to the table and look at it because there's no real division.
Right. It was very effective during, I can't remember the play about the girls with the soccer players. The soccer ball, what was it? The soccer girls? I'm trying to think. I'm not doing it right. Whatever, there's a show there with a lot of young women that I saw. It was very effective because the energy that they put off was kind of like, you know, and there was so much energy rolling off the stage that it was fun watching the audience kind of pick it up and return it right back.
Right. And there are moments where the characters do challenge the audience or interact with the audience or... the twirler will look at someone's hand and say, you haven't twirled, have you? I can tell by your hands, you know. And so it is a very close give and take experience.
Mm-hmm. Is there something when working with, and it's women in the cast.
It's all women.
11 women?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that you did as a director, and again, this is something I know nothing about, so you could tell me anything and I will 100% believe you. But like, you know, I'm not sure team building is the right term, but like does the rehearsal process create a cohesion, or since it's all different, it's a string of monologues, that cohesion isn't really necessary? Or how does that part work? Because this is an unusual piece of theater,
right,
in that it is a series of monologues, but my sense is like all the monologues are related in a way, if I remember correctly. It's been 20 years since I've seen it, but there's this momentum from them.
Oh, right. Well, it's funny because we have been rehearsing alone, and then now we are putting them all together. And this week we worked, you know, act one again, act two, act one. And then tonight we will be doing a run through. So act one will see act two and act two will see act one. But during the audition process, the actors kind of hung out in the dressing rooms. And I was curious because these girls were talking, and I said, well, did you know each other before the show? Oh, no, we bonded in the dressing room during auditions. You know, everybody is very supportive of each other, mm-hmm. and rightly so, because there's some excellent work that's being done. But now is the time when they're gelling, because they are working and they are watching each other's piece and going, oh God, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Was there watching it? Like when you were putting them together and seeing them together, were there directorial decisions? You're like, oh, you know what? Maybe I should try this because now I can see them.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because it's an ensemble piece, even though they're separate. So they all have to work and have a certain feel to them. So you have to consider that when you're casting. You don't want to, oh, that one's going to follow that one. I want to have this, not necessarily type, but energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So cool. And dear listener, that is Rosemary Orlando. She is directing and acting in Talking With, that opens up at Stageworks with a preview next Thursday night, the 27th, and opens officially on the 28th. And it's got about a 2-week run, I think.
It goes until May 14th.
May 14th.
Which is Mother's Day, so that might be a cool thing to do.
Mother's Day. That's a nice thing. So, and you mentioned 12 Angry Men, which you received a Outstanding Director Prize from Theater Tampa Bay. And you, and again, you know, you've been doing this for a while in this area. for a few minutes in this area. You've seen a lot of theater happen here. You've seen theater companies come and go and stuff like that. So I want to broaden the conversation a little bit and talk about directing and acting in the Tampa Bay area and kind of what people can do. We were talking a little bit about the pandemic, but have people been coming back to the theater? Is it at the level, pre-pandemic level?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And I also think that during COVID, people were so glued to their television and streaming and gotten to working at home, and things kind of changed. Not going to the movies, watching mm-hmm. a movie on their television set.
And watching theater. I mean, I watched theater Zooms, you know, mm-hmm. because I can't live without theater. And during the pandemic, it was, well, you can watch us on Zoom, you know, donate a few dollars.
Trying to teach acting classes on Zoom.
Oh, wow. Right, yeah.
That's pretty hard.
That's pretty hard. And you teach now at UT.
Yes, I do.
You teach acting?
Mm-hmm.
Do you teach directing also?
No. I did direct Boeing last semester, and two of my actors that I used are now in Talking With.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Smart. Would you like to teach directing? Is that something that you would enjoy teaching?
I don't even think they have a directing class. I don't at UT. I love to share everything I know. Mm-hmm. And it stops on the technical side.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, which
That's
is fine.
That's why those people,
yeah.
you know, when I owned right. a restaurant, I knew how to do a lot of stuff, but I would hire people who knew how to do things better than me because that's what, right. you know, that's what they are good at.
Exactly.
And I was not good at. So what are there things that you think would help to get people back into the theater?
Well, I'm disappointed that we don't have our newspapers anymore. I'm disappointed that you could look for your review after a show and you would look at the St. Pete Times, Tampa Times, and Creative Loafing. Mm-hmm. Look at those three reviews. Now they have to pick and choose what company they direct. It isn't a given that you're going to get a review.
Right.
And the reviews really pulled in your public. The mm-hmm. audience would read it and say, oh, wow, you know, like this is from 2002. I'm looking at an old review.
And I just want to mention, it's posted, if anybody follows me on Facebook or Instagram, it's Joe Schmelin on Instagram or Art in Your Ear on Facebook. You can see what Rosemary's looking at.
Right. And it's unforgettable characters you'll meet in the Stageworks production of Talking With at the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Center. You know, it has these catchy lines that you go, oh, I think I'll go see that.
Right.
Now there's a little blurb on Instagram, you know, somebody's holding a snake and things like that, where that does not touch a lot of people.
Right.
And your audience, a lot of the audience is like me. I don't have Instagram. Mm.
Right. Or it might be you missed it. You might have Instagram, but you didn't look at the right time and it's scrolled away and you don't ever see it again. So the lack of sort of media presence and print media presence is harmful.
Which is why I'm so happy that we're doing this, because I know this reaches out to so many people.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. And wonderful, wonderful audience members, I would say. I feel that my audience is adventurous and they try things. We had a couple months ago, we had a music festival came on that had dance going with it. And it was definitely not, you know, it was experimental music. And I can't believe how many people that listened to the show went to it. You know, I mean, I walked in once and I was like, these are my list, like, you know. So so kudos to you out there for being adventurous, and I hope it makes your life better. And that's what, I mean, because to me, going to live theater is, I love going to movies, big movies. I'm not good at watching movies on my laptop. I like seeing them in a screen, but I also like it because I like seeing them with other people. And I think that that habit, what you were talking about during the pandemic, we got used to doing everything alone or in our house. Mm-hmm. But the idea of being in a space, in a communal space, watching something all at the same time is a very special feeling, and it's transformative. If you have a good play, it's transformative. And this play, to be talking especially not only for women, but to have these women, all different types of women, talking about their dreams. You know, I mean, that just in itself is very transformative. And with that, is there a little bit of your monologue that you can do to give listeners sort of a flavor as to what they might get?
Okay. So mine is called Clear Glass Marbles. And all of these monologues, the characters are talking to the audience and they're sharing an experience. And she opens the monologue up with saying that her mother asked her to go out and buy 90 clear glass marbles. And then we find out that was because the doctor gave her mother 3 months to live. So we have this old cut glass crystal bowl full of these marbles. And as it progresses, the mother decides that she's going to take to her bedroom. And she buys $1,200 worth of nightgowns, because in her family, when you're dying, that's what you do. You take to your bed. And that, my darlings, is where I'm going.
Okay.
So, but then, you know, things progress. So anyway, the part that I think I like to share is how she passed the time. And it's funny because I hate to say this, but as I age and as my friends age, we talk about, oh, I've got too much junk. This was my grandmother's. I think I should give this to my daughter. Then she'll have, you know, this big bowl, this crystal bowl and stuff. So here, that's what she's doing. She's sharing what her mother did from her bed.
All right, audience, this is Rosemary Orlando doing part of Glass Marbles.
Okay. Oh, she passed the time. There were things she wanted. She made out a list of children's books from her own childhood, and we got as many of them as we could find from the library. She said they were still the only good books she ever read. She wrote notes to, oh, I don't know, maybe 60 or 70 people. And they told us later on that they were sort of little formal goodbyes, each of them recalling some incident or shared something. Not very significant. But the odd thing was that in each one, she included a recipe. A recipe in every one of them. We got out the big cookie tin full of snapshots that somehow never became a scrapbook. She liked that. She showed my father how to do the medical insurance and how she handled the accounts. We went through her jewelry. She wrote down the names of the roofers and plumbers and air conditioning people. She called it wrapping it up. "Well, this is good," she'd say. "I'm wrapping it up."
As people who both have lost our moms. Yeah. Sorry, that was beautiful.
Yes, it's something that everybody can relate to on some level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what we've been talking about, talking with a show that opens up next week at Stageworks. I just want to mention too, Stageworks was, did they not receive this stage as a gift? Was it?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and I just want to say, I mean, Stagework has been valued in this area for years and years. I want to say 40 years, but I'm not sure if that's
it's
correct.
40 years. Okay. We are at the 40-year anniversary.
You know, and to have that, and we're lucky because we have American Stage and Stageworks and JobSite and established theaters, and then we have younger, newer theaters and all this different stuff going on. As a director, as an actor and a director and a theater professional, I know you teach part-time, but can theater people make good livings here? Because it used to be everyone left and it seems like people are staying.
Well, most people I know, unless you are on the staff of a theater, but a regular actor, I have to teach, and I directed a couple different places. Right now, I also directed upstairs, downstairs at the Plant Museum. Mm-hmm. That has on Sunday characters who live or worked at the museum, Henry Plant and the right. waiter. Who it's really cool because,
right, yeah.
And they go, "Oh my God, Isidore Duncan!" You know, and
do you move around the space in that?
It's in the hall,
right? Okay,
and it's so cool because. You might have the actors speaking to people who have seats and everything, and then somebody will walk by and the character will say, "Well, come right in. Do you want dinner? Here's a menu," if the waiter, you know, they're good on their feet. You know, I'm washing the laundry woman says she's washing the socks, and this is Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth did stay there, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot of great history.
Great.
But yes, so I do that. So you find different little jobs, and it's, you know, it's the arts. You're not working for, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
It's supposed to fulfill us in different ways.
Yeah.
Not financially.
Yes, but it's spiritually uplifting.
But then you go back to dreams because, you know, I mean, people do dream of all sorts of careers for themselves. You know, when I was a little girl, I dreamt I would be a writer, and then I turned my back on it for years and years and years. Years and years and years. But now I can call myself a writer. Like, we have to go back to our dreams, because otherwise, you know, when you're done, what are you going to say? Like, wow, I avoided every single one of my dreams. Good for
me,
you know?
Right. and whatever your dreams are, there's a character who just loves McDonald's and loves the plastic and the cleanliness of it. And she would like to live there. And and she says, "I know it won't happen, but you got to have your dreams.
Right.
Your dreams are what you are."
There you go. I love that. Well, on that note, I want to make sure I give the proper information out if you are interested in getting more information about Talking With. It opens officially on the 28th, previews on the 27th, and then runs through May 14th at Stageworks. You can go online to Stageworks Theater, spelled T-R-E, stageworkstheater.com. And then it's right there on the front page, and you can look at events and stuff like that. And then coming up next, what is this? The Great American Trailer Park Musical.
Oh yeah, what a hoot.
That sounds really fun. And then what's coming up in the next for you after this?
Well, I've been very busy because we're at the end of the semester at UT, and I'm looking forward to having some time off. It seems like April's just crazy in May. And I also have a grandson who will be 2 in June.
Priorities.
Theo Fitzwilliam, who I just can't wait to see and just take a break and have some family time.
Good. That sounds wonderful. Rosemary Orlando, thank you so much for coming on Art in Your Ear today. Thank you again for being you and Jeff Norton being my first guests ever.
What an honor. Thank you.
We're on at 10 o'clock on Friday mornings, and we sat in the smallest little booth that you could ever record an interview in, because we pre-recorded it and I had to edit and put it on. So thank you for doing that. My second guest was Paula Poundstone. I know. I just thought
heavy hitters.
I know. I had the cream of the crop right from the beginning. And rest in peace, of course, always, Jeff Norton. I think of you a lot. And thank you so much. We've got, I'm going to skip over. We have, we've got a new song by Elvis Costello and also with Joker out called New Wave. And then we've got some stuff going on around the area. Thanks again, Rosemary Orlando. And thank you, listeners, for being out there on listening to Art in Your Ear on 88.5 FM.
They'd be fishing for fortunes, and that's why they've stolen the birds from the sky. We're raising our glasses to cheer if we can find our way out of here. If we can just drain the tap, unfold the treasure map, and maybe in sorrow, back steal or borrow. Everybody join our carnival, just to be a particle. Old hair stretch out of the grave, say that's a new wave. They keep them helping. Fly high with 10,000 souls. Let go my hand while I take the controls. Better to love this world, so cruel and so complex, than to live every day of our lives afraid of the next. Everybody join our carnival.
And that is new Elvis Costello. So excited about that. Of course, hey, I want to let you know some stuff going on and about the area, but also I wanted to let you know about this.
Take a moment and have a look at your car. Does it spark joy for you? Does it even spark at all? When you're ready to say thank you and goodbye to your old ride, WMNF will be ready for you. Tidy up with a free pickup today. Go to WMNFcar.org for more.
And there's two things going on at Studio at 620 that I wanted to let you know about. Hope you don't mind. excuse me, before I choke. Tonight at Studio at 620, there's a youth poetry showcase. Woo, get caught. I was running around. Get caught. So the Youth Poetry Showcase is tonight at 6 p.m. at Studio at 620. Young people, and when I say young people, I think what they're looking for youth poets are really anybody who is in elementary, middle, or high school, maybe out of high school recently, to come in and bring 1 to 3 poems to read. It's open to all teen writers to bring one to two or three poems to share. That's tonight at Studio at 620. And then next Thursday at Studio 620, I'm super excited about this, and I hope to catch up with everybody at some point. Yellow Jacket Press is coming out alive again, out of hibernation. Yellow Jacket Press is just, I think, one of the premier poetry publishing organizations in Florida, and they do chapbooks. So they are joining up with Keep St. Pete Lit, and they're going to resume their statewide poetry contest and chapbook publications. They stopped before COVID. So they are having next Thursday night, the 27th, at Studio 620. There's going to be a celebratory reading and a relaunch, and then you can have Gianna Russo, the founder of Yellow Jacket Press, and Gloria Munez, the poet laureate, Marie McDowell of Keep St. Pete Lit, all getting together with other poets and doing that. And that is at Studio at 620, located at 620 First Avenue South in beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. All right, I got to get out of here. I see E-Love in the studio. She's going to have a beautiful show with Global Electronica for you. It shall be gorgeous, and we shall all love it. It's just wonderful. And then after that, of course, is Live Music Showcase. After Live Music Showcase, the Reverend Billy and Marvelous Marvin come in with Rhythm Revival, a show that gives you all sorts of early rock and roll, gospel, funny songs, funny stories. It's a great way to start your afternoon. And then we get into the Soul Party at 6 p.m., classic R&B and soul, and then a wonderful smorgasbord of rhythm-based sound at 8 p.m. with De Soul Kitchen. Also, they want to know what you're eating, but they have jazz and rock and hip-hop and everything R&B on that. And then we end our night with Flashback Friday. Flashback Friday is Florida R&B and soul. So lots of stuff to stay in there with. You are listening to WMNF Tampa, WMNF, the best little station in the nation. My name is Jolyn Schilke. I have so much love for you. I'm so grateful that you've been listening. Thank you for being out there. If you want to get in touch and send me information, you can always email Joellen, Joellen, at WMNF.org. All right. Take care, you guys. Talk to you next week. Take care of yourselves. Remember to dream. I'm talking to Elam. Thanks again for listening. Stay tuned for the NPR News here on WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM.